Canada responds to Trump's tariffs. This is what they had to say.
Trump has just announced a sweeping new tariff on cars.
This is very modest. And what we're going to be doing is a 25% tariff on all cars that are not made in the United States. If they're made in the United States, there's absolutely no tariff. Business is coming back to the United States so that they don't have to pay tariffs.
President Trump announced 25% tariffs against our auto industry. And this is a direct attack, to be clear, a direct attack on the very workers that I stood in front of, Unifor workers I stood in front of this morning at the Ambassador Bridge, a bridge that is a symbol and a reality.
I look at that bridge every day that I wake
tight
up.
Ties,
Ambassador Bridge.
Our two countries, ties of kinship, ties of commerce, ties that are in the process of being broken. We will defend our workers. We'll defend our companies. We'll defend our country.
He don't even sound confident.
We'll defend it together. You know, this will hurt us. But through this period, by being together, we will emerge stronger.
How many people listening to Mark Carney and saying, you know what? I'm feeling confident about the prospects of how this is going to turn out for Canada. How many of you Canadians are listening to this guy that has no confidence, is a worse version of Justin Trudeau? And while he's standing at the staring at the Ambassador Bridge, which I was staring at the Ambassador Bridge this morning, how many of y'all are listening to this guy and saying, you know what? I'm feeling confident about our prospects here after what he's saying. Nobody. Zero people. Nobody. And I mean absolutely nobody is believing you, sir. Mark. Mark, it's not looking good for y'all, bro.
I think what's happened, and this was part of our discussion, over the course of the last several months, Canadian workers, Canadians, as a whole across
y'all
the country,
might as well move to America.
Have gotten over the shock of the betrayal and are learning lessons. We have to look out for ourselves.
You don't even know what to say right now.
To look out for each other. Would be appropriate that the president and I speak, given the action that he's taken. I'm sure that it will happen soon. I'm not going to give you a precise timing on that. In terms of options, which was the second part of Ms. Martin's question, even during a caretaker period of government, we have anticipated this possibility. We have put in place the mechanisms so that if it is appropriate for retaliatory tariffs, and there's many considerations to be taken in those regards, and I want to have the meeting of our cabinet, Canada-U.S. cabinet, other considerations. We need to see the details of the executive order.
Buyer beware, your next car could cost more money.
This is very modest. And what we're going to be doing is a 25% tariff on all cars that are not made in the United States. If they're made in the United States, there's absolutely no tariff. Business is coming back to the United States so that they don't have to pay tariffs.
A very modest 25% tariff. The president.
And I know that she better, because Trump checked out on her the other day and said, hey, I didn't call on you. Trump checked out on her. Let me go find that clip.
And it says, my political sources are here, Paul Begala and Scott Jennings, along with my deeply sourced White House insiders, Zolan Cano Youngs from The New York Times and Isaac Arnsdorf from The Washington Post. And Isaac, this was something the White House announced later this afternoon. They said the president's going to be making an announcement on auto tariffs. This is a 25% tariff on all imports coming into the U.S. And he said it starts April 2nd. Obviously, he was arguing that that will be, in the end, better for the American consumer. But what have you heard from sources about how this all came about today?
Well, obviously, Trump was elected to lower prices, not
raise them. What's up with dog hair?
He is betting that that Americans are going to stick with him in the long run for the. But factories aren't built overnight. And he's acknowledged that there's going to be pain in the meantime. And I've been assured by the White House that we're not going to see a repeat on April 2nd.
Actually, what they're saying is, and what the Trump administration is saying, is that there's going to be a whole lot of construction jobs that are being created. And he actually went on inside of that exact same press conference and said that there's going to be a lot of construction jobs that is created, and millwrights and electricians and plumbers and all of these skilled tradespeople are going to make a lot of money. It's going to be a lot of construction companies that generate a lot of revenue that is going to scale up and build all of this infrastructure that allows for us to generate more revenue. And then we're also going to have the jobs that go along with it. This is what he said to the reporter the other day.
Situation we should have never had to even think about.
Caitlin
should have never happened. And in the Middle East, that's been going on for a lot of years, centuries and centuries. It just keeps going. And we are making a lot of progress. So it's all I can report. But some very, very big talks are going and detailed talks are going on right now on both fronts.
Mr. President, you said that your national security advisor learned a lesson after a reporter.
Excuse me, I didn't make you. Go ahead, please.
Mr. President, the ceasefire agreement that was brokered today.
Let's continue, man.
Of what happened a month ago, where the markets panicked, the other countries scrambled, and they agreed, well, we have some concessions, let's work it out, let's pause it, let's delay it a month. You know, is this going to be happening every month? Are we going to have that whiplash scare every month that then gets dialed back? I've been assured this time April 2nd is real.
Well, what happens if April 2nd is real? Because I think that's what all of these, the car makers, the automakers, everyone else who's going to be affected by these tariffs has been looking at, saying, do we need to actually prep for this, or is it going to be an exception, a pullback, whatever we've seen before previously?
Which we've seen in the past, right, particularly when it came to tariffs on Mexico as well, and when it came to Canada. I remember that, and when he threatened tariffs initially on Mexico, I traveled there, talked to officials who were asking those same questions. Is this for real, which is often the question that comes up. Is this just politically advantageous to issue the rhetorical threat of this economic penalty, or to actually go through with it? You mentioned that he acknowledged also the pain that consumers might feel. I think it's more than just he's betting that Americans will be patient here with any sort of economic frustration. That acknowledgement is also part of a resetting of expectations in a way. We have to remember that during the transition, Trump said he would bring down consumer prices immediately and address inflation immediately.
And it is already being addressed, and inflation is already going down. Egg prices is already down. Price of groceries is already going down. And so, yes, he did. Within 2 months of him becoming president of the United States of America, he started to bring down prices. And inflation is going down even more after 2 months, after only 2 months. You know what's so funny? We're judging Trump, which is, he's doing a phenomenal job, by the way. We're judging Trump's presidency. But we had no criticism overall for the Biden administration over 4 years. We've been judging Trump over the last 2 months. But we judged Biden, and we didn't hold his feet to the fire for anything that he didn't do. All he did was cause raises in inflation.
You've started to see just in recent weeks the president and other officials saying, hey, look, now that we're in office, these tariffs, it may come with some economic pain, particularly if they do go through with it on April 2nd. Scott.
Somebody said eggs are still $12 around my way. Well, then get off the Indian reservation and come into society. Come into regular America. I don't know about where your way is. I don't know where your way is. But I'm looking at Eggland's Best. Extra large white eggs, $3.99. Nearby. Kroger. I'm looking at all of it right now. A 60 count is at Walmart. Is 60 count, a whole box at Walmart is $22. And it's $4 for a dozen of extra large. So I don't know where y'all live. Where are y'all living at? What are y'all talking about? Where do y'all live at to where y'all paying that amount of money for eggs? Did I miss something? Am I not aware of what's going on out here? Why are y'all so hell-bent? That's for a 60 count. And it's $4 at Gordon's. So what are y'all talking about? Y'all just be saying anything. I don't even think y'all know what the price of eggs are, or milk, or cereal, or anything. They said it's $9 to $10 in Long Beach. Y'all better run out of California. I keep telling y'all, y'all keep living in these places. That's basically, that's gouging y'all. Anyways, let's get back to it.
Scott, how does the president balance that in terms of you can only, if you're negotiating and using it as a tactic, you can't really back away from it that often, or people will just always think maybe it's not actually going to happen. But how do you balance that with what consumers might feel as a result of this?
Well, you balance it by making your argument that I'm trying to transform the American
fake
economy.
Outrage.
And while we may have some short-term pain for consumers, we're going to have long-term gain for workers. And if you look on your social media tonight, the United Auto Workers, the UAW, has put out a strong statement in support of what Trump did today. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons
you mean the same UAW that endorsed Biden and Kamala Harris for president of the United States of America? What? They said the UAW. They didn't say Sean Fain, the president of the UAW. They just said the UAW put out a strong statement supporting Trump and endorsing what he's doing. You mean the same UAW that was endorsing Kamala Harris and Biden just a couple months ago, right? The ones that was trying to get all of their workers to vote for Kamala Harris and Biden, they embraced this? No way. It actually saves and bolsters the UAW's ranks and creates more jobs within the auto industry. That's crazy. You don't say.
That he was doing the tariff is because of declining domestic production. And so in the eyes of Trump, in the eyes of the UAW, the people who represent the people who work in these factories, this is a win for them. So the balance here is short-term pain for consumers, maybe long-term gain for workers. And by the way, if everybody wants to make their stuff here, nobody's going to feel any pain at all.
This is going to go down in history. Like, you know how like Reagan had Morning America and FDR had the New Deal and LBJ, the Great Society? This presidency will be known as the Great Betrayal. He was elected.
Hey, he really, y'all know he had this speech set up. That's why it was such a long pause before he even started speaking.
Elected by the American middle class. He won the votes of voters who make less than 50 grand a year. Just as Isaac said, they voted for him for one reason. Cut my cost of living.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They voted for him so that he can create more jobs. They voted for him because they didn't want illegal migrants inside of the country. They voted for him because they seen inflation continuing to go up. They voted for him because we didn't see any houses that was affordable in their particular areas. They voted for him because they seen all of this liberal outrage when it came to my body, my choice. They voted for him because you didn't have any real policy on the Democratic side. They voted for him because they didn't want women or men in girls' bathrooms. They voted for him because they didn't want any more diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they wanted merit-based programs. They voted for him because they wanted the option to choose whether they wanted to buy a gas-powered vehicle or they wanted an electric vehicle. They wanted more choice. They voted for him because they wanted us to actually drill and use the resources in America to eliminate the corporate debt. They voted for him because they didn't want any more new taxes. You're not going to sit here and gaslight us, big dog. We know. We was on the ground. We talked to the people. We know why they voted for Trump, and that's why they're saying promises made, promises delivered. They voted for him because of this. No, they didn't. They voted for him for all of those reasons that I just said.
Since he's taken office, he took office, eggs were $4.14 a carton. They're $5.89 today. Gas was $2.95 a gallon. They're $3.11 today. This is all from the Federal Reserve.
I think you're off on the eggs.
It's 100%.
100% he is. I just pulled it up.
The Federal Reserve.
I think you're off on the eggs.
I'm just telling you what the Fed says. Rent has gone up $1 a day.
Theory Ames says inflation is directly related to the cost of living. And then they put my name in caps. Anton. No, it's not. Inflation is directly related to the cost of the, how many more dollars is being printed and put into circulation because we don't actually have anything that we backing it up by. In addition to the cost of living versus your buying power. So when we talk about the cost of living, you can say, well, it's more expensive for you to be able to go in and get rent, right? Or maybe more expensive because a burger costs this much. But what they don't tell you is that we're printing more money than ever before, more, and you're not getting any raises on your jobs, and they're mandating for people to make $25 an hour in order to make a burger. That's what they didn't tell you. The cost of living, for example, in your situation could be directly tied to the fact that you got a whole lot of student loans that you didn't have to take out because you made bad decisions. Your cost of living could be directly tied to the bad management of your city, and then they raise your property taxes because they need to bolster city finances because they don't have enough money to be able to pay the teachers in the schools. Your cost of living could be directly tied to problems and bad decisions as far as your local government making horrible decisions on whether or not they wanted to update the infrastructure or if they wanted to spend more money on illegal migrants inside of the city. So there's a lot of reasons why your cost of living could go up. Your buying power is directly tied to that. And then how much money they print from the federal government in order to devalue the dollar is also tied to inflation. So there's a lot of reasons of why inflation is what it is or what the value of that dollar is, which then lowers your buying power. It increased the amount that it costs, but it doesn't keep up with the amount that you're getting a raise on your job or the job that you've created for yourself with the business. You can't fool me. Listen, I don't have talking points. I have real life experiences and I understand how money works. You can't just say anything and think that you can get away with it. That's not how life works. That's not how life works at all.
Every day since he was sworn in, if he's not cutting the price of groceries, gas and rent, he is failing the people who put him in office. He's stabbing them in the back. These are good people. I hate when my side attacks Trump voters. They're good people. But they put their faith in a guy who's stabbing them in the back every day. You can't have higher tariffs and lower prices.
Was he not also elected by the working men and women of this country to give them better job opportunities in the middle of this country?
I mean, thank
part
you,
of
Scott.
The whole animus of the Trump campaign in 2016 was the hollowing out of the American manufacturing
sector. Sure, so go tell them.
And that's what he's doing.
Go tell them that adding $12,000 to the cost of their car is going to be really good for them, Scott.
I'm going to go tell them they're going to get a job, make more money than they've ever made.
Yeah, they're going to tell you you're full of malarkey. Well, you're raising costs across the board. If you drive or drink or eat or dress, you're going to be paying more.
Inflation rates have come down in the last couple of months.
But I do think part of this is who's around Trump and his economic advisors in terms of how they're guiding him on this compared to last time. It does seem different in terms of no one saying, oh, you should pull back on this or you should do this. They're more, much more on board with it than they were 8 years ago.
I think that's across the board when it comes to the Trump agenda, that you're not going to have you're not going to have the instances that we saw in the first term where, you know, different cabinet.
Scott here is Karen Sandin. Hey, y'all notice how Scott is on literally almost every single panel show on CNN and doing individual interviews and getting on there arguing with Ashley Allison and going back and forth with Van Jones and being on here. He is probably at the forefront of one of the people that is carrying CNN. And I got to give CNN a little bit of credit. At least they got him. At least they made sure that they keep a conservative voice that's actually mindful and can communicate effectively and debate with these idiots that's on this platform. Make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on these notifications.